Good evening. To me, it's always a privilege to go through Romans. It's always a challenge to me, continual growth, being challenged by the truths that we find in Romans. I've been excited every night because the foundation is laid in the first 11 chapters. And now tonight and tomorrow night, based off that foundation, Paul is going to really now say, okay, here's where the rubber meets the road. Here's where now we live this out in our lives every day. And so tonight we want to see the transforming work of the gospel in our lives right here at Trinity and in the surrounding community that we interact with each and every day. How shall what we've looked at yesterday and our Monday night and Sunday, how should that impact all the relationships that we have of individuals that we come into contact with? And then tomorrow night, Romans chapter 14 and 15, I'll admit for a long time, I kind of was scared of those chapters because I like things, you know, it's nice when everything is just nice, neat, and simple, and everybody believes like you, and everybody does things just like you, and life isn't that way, though, is it? Individuals can come to Scripture and look at the same Scripture, and between, as they stand before God, they have this application, and I have this application, and it's just not comfortable. And so tomorrow night, we want to, as we come back and conclude with what I really think is the pinnacle of the gospel, the fact that as believers, we can have differences and yet at the same time be united in the gospel. We want to look at some principles then tomorrow night that guide our relationships as believers in the gospel. But tonight, we want to look at starting with a couple very familiar verses. And let's go ahead and just read them. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Before we get going tonight, let's have a word of prayer. Father, help us to realize just how much we need you tonight. And Lord, I pray that your Spirit would be at work among us. I pray that you would be heard, that your word would be clear, and that you would do a work in our hearts. In Christ's name, amen. So as you see here on the screen, tonight we're looking at the fact that God does expect a real and personal response based on the gospel from each and every one of us. And his appeal here is on the mercies of God. I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. So the therefore here in these verses is really one of those that takes us back through the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans. Based on everything that we've looked at and more, because obviously we did not exhaust Romans 1 through 11 in the four sessions that we've had so far, but based on everything that God has done for us, now he expects a very real and personal response here. And I'd like to just start tonight, open it up here. It says, the mercies of God. And to me, one of the neat things about that word is it is plural. And let's just shout out some here. The mercies of God, based on what we've looked at from Romans 1 through 11, what are some of those mercies that we've looked at?
I'm not in hell.
What else?
You've been justified.
I'll never be judged for my sin.
And there's no like here in Romans 12, 1 and 2, and he says, by the mercies of God, God's pity arising from my miserable state. Obviously, the mercies of God, the basis here is one of those things that involves gratitude for everything that Christ has done for me, but it is also recognizing that it's His mercy that allows me to continue to live the Christian life. It's only by His, it was by His mercy that He saved me. It's by His mercy that I have everything that I have based on sonship last night. But it's by His mercy, as we, you know, to use the lingo of last night, that I can stay in the plane. And it's by His mercy then that I can live this transformed life that we want to look at here tonight. So He's not just calling for us to express our gratitude, although that's part of it, but He's also calling for us to express our and exercise our faith. So again, my encouragement, just go ahead and go through Romans 1 through 11 again. Make that list. And then that's one of those lists on a day when humanly we start to get down, and we have those days. When we're down in the dumps, when we're just not, you know, emotions aren't taking us through the day, go back to that list and just start to review some of the mercies of God. God calls us to surrender our lives to Him based on His mercies. Not only based on His mercies, though, He also calls for us to live that life based on the fact that He calls for us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And you see the picture up there on the screen. This does take us back to the Old Testament. The Old Testament burnt offerings. And as the priest would bring that burnt offering to the altar and would place that offering on the altar and slit its throat, we are to be presenting our bodies as a burnt offering. However, it's not the same, quite the same as that Old Testament burnt offering. This isn't a one-time thing. This isn't a one-time decision that you say, I'm going to present my body a living sacrifice. I walked the altar. I did that. And no, this is something we have to do every day. Again, I take you back to the picture that we used yesterday of the airplane. What happens when we get outside the airplane? Which law goes into effect? The law of gravity. And when we're in the airplane, we're living in the law of the spirit. But you get outside the airplane and the law of the flesh quickly takes over. And this is something we have to be doing every day, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. This is a lifestyle that we are to be involved in. It's also not like this Old Testament sacrifice, because did that animal have a whole lot of choice in this matter? No, that animal was like, oh, you're a perfect little animal. Boom, you're chosen. You're going on the altar. We are to do it what? Willingly. This is a mental, you know, it's not just a mental assent, but it is a choice that we are making through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we are presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. So this is a lifestyle that we are to be involved in. This is a lifestyle that every day I am presenting my body to God. And it is my body. Everything about me is this living sacrifice. And it's my whole body is that living sacrifice. And so I'm not coming ignorantly like those animals, but I am making this choice. And then he says here, this is your spiritual worship. Now we use that term worship, we typically think of what? I say worship, what day of the week do you think of? Sunday, right? But really, worship, it's a whole lot more than what we do on Sunday. Worship is presenting your body a living sacrifice. So which day of the work does that day of the week does that not include? That includes every day of the week. And really, this is what Paul is going to describe now in chapters 12 through 16. You are to be presenting your body a living sacrifice as you go to school. You are to present your body a living sacrifice at work. We get home, that's whose time? That's my time, Pastor. What are you talking about? I present my body a living sacrifice when I get home. Dads, this is one of those I constantly have to have drilled into my head. Just because I've been at work all day, I come home, it's not all about who? It's not all about me. It's not the old picture of dad comes home, sits in the lazy boy, you know, and the kids bring him the slippers and the drink and just leave dad alone. I'm still a living sacrifice at home. I'm still presenting my body a living sacrifice at home. And so we see this really is true worship. Now, how do we do this? Well, he starts to get into this in verse 2. There's a mind renewal. A mind renewal. Number one, he tells us in verse 2, don't be conformed to the world. Don't be molded to the world system. Let me ask you, is it easier as you go throughout your day to be conformed to the world or to be conformed to Christ? What are we flooded with? And do you see why? And again, elementary, middle school, teens, this is why your time in God's Word is so vital. To make that a pattern of your life, even at that young age, because you are going to be bombarded with the things of this world. And you've got to get in that pattern of your life at your young age. I'm going to bombard my life with the things of the Lord. Because we are bombarded every day by the things of the world. And that's why Keys for Kids, those little devotional guides that you can get that can help you get into the Word and just renew your mind in the things of the Lord and the things of the Word. Because positively, we need to continually think like Christ. So he says here, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. Okay, I need an elementary school boy. You need to help me out here. Transform. What does that sound like? Any boy that you have? Does that sound like one of your toys? Anybody have a toy that sounds like a transform? No. You have the imaginary. You have a transformer? Okay, bad. You see, transformers were never good for me. That's kind of the picture here. You are to be transformed, as we see there in verse 2, by the renewal of your mind. And so you see the picture here, that metamorphosis, that transforming of the caterpillar into a butterfly. Bug's Life. The poor guy never really made it, did he? You know, the butterfly, you know, I want to be a butterfly. No, I probably just ruined it for everybody. Now you're going to be having that going through your mind the rest of the message. But, you know, he finally got his wings, but he was never much of a butterfly even when he got that. But the idea is, we are to be transformed every day by the renewing of our minds. And the agents of that, again, we can go back to chapter 8, I think, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. As we stay in the plane, as we stay in the Spirit is the one who is going to do this work in us. That's part of the mercy of God. The mercy of God, that He is going to continually make us like Him. And He's going to use the Word in doing that. And what's the goal? Discernment. The goal is that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And again, let me hit the teens here for a minute. Teens, you know, a lot of times you start thinking, oh, what's God's will for my life? Okay, I'll throw another little project out there for you. Just start to go through Scripture and say, this is the will of God. There are a number of places in Scripture where it says, this is the will of God. If you're trying, if you're busy right now trying to figure out what the will of God is for my life, start there. It's the will of God that I avoid fornication. Okay, I better make sure I'm doing that. The will of God, Romans chapter 2, 12 verse 2, is that I'm not conformed to this world, but I'm transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that by testing, you may discern what is the will of God. So what do I need to be doing every day? I need to be renewing my mind. And guess what? As I'm doing these things, God is going to reveal his will. He's going to continue to guide and he is going to direct you. Now, Romans 12, 1 and 2, a lot of times can be like a New Year's resolution, can't they? You know, really, as we read these verses, it's, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, my New Year's resolution, I'm going to run, I'm going to exercise, I'm going to, and I like Calvin and Hobbes, so resolutions, me? Just what are you implying, that I need to change? Well, buddy, as far as I'm concerned, I'm perfect the way I am. And if we're not careful, that's how we are as believers, isn't it? We're perfect, and as we're listening to this, I've heard umpteen messages on Romans 12, 1 and 2. I need to present my body a living sacrifice. Been there, done that. I don't need, I'm good. Okay, keep going, and we'll be done tonight. Don't we all need to change? Don't we all need to be continually being conformed into the image of Christ? So as we go through Romans 12 tonight, just think with me, are we willing to be transformed? Are we willing to be conformed into his image? Because Romans 12, 1 and 2 is that thing, yes, I want to be transformed into the image of Christ. But now the rubber's going to start to meet the road here in Romans chapter 12. This is what a living sacrifice looks like. And here's what he's going to do. He's going to give a general principle, first of all, and then he's going to get nitty-gritty. I think it's really interesting. The first place, really, Paul goes that you show that you're a living sacrifice, one of the first litmus tests to show, are you really a living sacrifice? What does it look like right here at Trinity? What is my involvement like in the body of Christ here at Trinity? And a living sacrifice is going to have definite characteristics. Can I give you the negatives? They're not in here, but the negatives, based off of the positives, a living sacrifice is not one that just comes and fills a seat. Now, I know on a Tuesday night, if you're here filling the seat, I'm probably talking to the choir to some extent. But a living sacrifice is going to have a number of things that is going to be true of him or her. And so we're going to see, first of all, tonight, this living sacrifice in the church. Then we're going to see living sacrifice in social relationships with believers and with unbelievers. We're not going to have time this week to look at chapter 13, but we could also see a living sacrifice. He gets nitty-gritty and he says, hey, your relationship to your government indicates how you're being a living sacrifice. You're a living sacrifice if you're living in light of Christ's return in chapter 13. And then we're going to see tomorrow night, you're a living sacrifice based on how you treat those in the body of Christ who you might not see eye to eye with. Whether that's to your right or that's to your left. This is what a living sacrifice looks like. So let's go ahead and look at this. We've kind of seen now the principle of being a living sacrifice. Now we want to see number two, that a living sacrifice is going to get active in your church. And here you go. I told you Andy Griffith would be coming. My favorite character of Andy Griffith is Barney. So now you're probably sitting here wondering, what in the world does Barney Fife have to do with being active in your local church? Look what he says in verse 3. Barney Fife is in the Greek, if you didn't realize that. And so I'll show you that in just a minute here. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned him. Being active in Trinity, first of all, means that you have an accurate, a proper view of yourself. Did Barney ever really have an accurate view of himself? He was either what? Way down here, and then Andy would have to come along and do what? He would have to manipulate the situation, manipulate the whole scenario, and Barney would look like the glorious grand savior. And he had nothing to do with it, but at the end of the show, who's gloating? Barney is gloating, all right? We need to have a proper view of ourselves. What does it mean here in verse 3 to have a proper view of yourself? Number one, there's a humility. And humility is going to be the one thing that is reigning supreme in chapter 12. A humility. By the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That's pretty tough, isn't it? We all think about ourselves, don't we? We all tend to think highly of ourselves. Can I remind us of a passage like Philippians chapter 2, though? What mind is supposed to be in us? The mind of Christ. What was that mind like? He was God. He's God, and yet what? Philippians reminds us he didn't think that was something to be held on to. But what did he do? He let that go, and he took upon himself the form of a servant. And being found in fashion of a man, being found in the form of a servant, what did he do? He humbled himself. And he became obedient unto death. Not just any death, as we've recently looked at, what death? Even the death of the cross. That's the humility that needs to be ringing, just pouring out of each believer here tonight. We're going to talk about humility more in just a minute. Remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 3, verse 27, after he laid out justification, propitiation, and all those wonderful terms? Where's boasting then? Where's boasting? There's no room for boasting, because as I stand here, I'm still clothed in what? My filthy rags. You know, it's kind of like, I have a little boy, so it's kind of, you know how this is, right, moms and dads? You know, they go out, they roll around in the mud, they come in, they throw another sweatshirt on over top of it and think they're clean, right? They're still a filthy mess. But that's really how we are, isn't it? We are a filthy mess, and we're clothed in what? His righteousness. That's why I love that song, His Robes for Mine. Because they're not my robes, they're His robes. But really, as we go back in our time in Romans to 3:27, where's boasting? But how soon do I move away from the cross? How soon do I think, I've got this down? No, it's by the mercies of God now that I can continue to live the Christian life. And it's because I'm clothed in His righteousness. And he says here, secondly, I'm to think soberly. I have a mind that is under control. A mind that is under control. It's reined in by the truth. And again, the only way I'm going to know the truth is if I'm in that word. And I'm measuring myself according to the measure of faith. We all measure ourselves against who? the weakest link in around us, don't we? Well, I'm pretty good because no, we are to measure yourself. The proper view of self is what? In relationship to a holy, righteous God. And then there's that humility, because we know we always have room for growth. And so we have a proper view of ourself. And then also here, as we are starting to see how this is played out in the life of Trinity, we have a proper view to other members of the body. Verses 4 and 5. For as in one body we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. If I soberly assess my role in the body of Christ, I see my need for others, don't I? Now, I have John Wayne up there. Hopefully, you're connecting why I have John Wayne up there. John Wayne would be representative of what in America? The old West, the old what? Community or rugged individualism? Which would John Wayne be? I need community or I can do this myself? Rugged individualism, right? But the church is all about what? We are a body. We are members one of another. Now, again, we can take, it's so simple, but we have to look at this. What? My body is made up of many what? Members, but I am one. You have a lot of members here, don't you? What's your name? Tyler. Tyler has a lot of members here, doesn't he? He can flap these. He can fly. Tyler. Do you like this ear? You have another one on the other side. Do you mind if I cut this one off? You don't mind? I can cut this one off? Mom, is that okay? Or are you shaking your head? No, you don't want me to cut that off. You have two. Why do you need... you're good with one, aren't you? Okay. You've got five fingers under here somewhere, don't you? Hey, look, I found a hand. You've got five fingers. How about the pinky? I'll just take the pinky. It's small. You don't mind if I get rid of that one, do you? I'd take your shoes off, but I'd be afraid. I'd be afraid of what I found or what I smelled. I'm speaking out of my own son. But what if I cut off one of your toes, okay? So we'll go even smaller. How about I cut off your pinky toe? You good with that? All right, I know one more. You'll give into this, right? You have any teeth to lose yet? Can I just pull it out right now? You're going to lose it anyway, right? And Mom might give you some money under your pillow for that, right? So let's just... Now, we all are members of the larger body of Christ, but it's manifest right here in Fond du Lac, right here in Trinity. You need one another. Do we really view it that way, though? Tyler, what body part is he going to give up? Nothing. Why do we as believers, though, in a body like this, and I'm not... picking on you, it's anybody, but we're talking Trinity here tonight. Why do we act like we don't need each other? this is how we should view activities. This is how we should view Wednesday night, other times that we come together throughout the week. A lot of times I selfishly, and I'm speaking for myself here, I selfishly look at activities. I selfishly look at maybe a Wednesday night when I've had a busy time and I just need my time. And I look at it as what? It's just another service. But I know what? I'm a member of this body. Maybe, understand how I say this, maybe I don't need the exact truth that the pastor's going to bring to us that night. But you know what? It's not all about preaching. That's for me. I'm looking at the end here because I get nervous sometimes. It's not all of that's not all coming together as a, that's a part of it. Western culture, we are very much like John Wayne, where I can do this. I can get through this. No, we can't, can we? And one of the ways God uses the Spirit when we're going through tough times, you know, we pray, God, help get them through this. What does God want to do, though, a lot of times to help get them through this? He wants to use the encouraging word, the encouraging visit. Saddest thing is sometimes what? Believers go through something, and who's the only one who shows up? Pastor. Now I'm on my little soapbox here for just a minute. It's okay. I'm not saying a pastor can't do hospital visitation, a pastor can't do home visitation and those type of things. That's not all the pastor's responsibility. And when encourage them because we are members. And if we soberly assess our role in the body of Christ, we see our need for each other. And so we have to have a proper view of ourselves. There needs to be a humility. There needs to be our minds thinking correctly, a sober thinking. It needs to be according to Christ is our standard, and we also need to have that proper relationship. But then he goes right into, we need to use our abilities. We need to use our abilities. Now, Pastor did not ask me to do this, but my antenna went up on Sunday when he said, you know, I put out a form. I don't even know what he called it, but he put out a form for what? To receive feedback to see who wants to be involved in this, that, or the other thing. He should have been flooded. And again, he's probably upset that I'm talking about this. He should be, when he gives something out like that, and the pastoral staff takes the time to do that, you should flood him back. I would love to do these five things. I know I can only do one of them, but my heart's desires, I would love to do. And is that a heart, though? Because as we go through here, the very first place he says to be a living sacrifice is to properly use your abilities in the body of Christ, verses 6 through 8. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. And so I think very clearly, in my estimation, I don't have time to develop it in full tonight, but I think really he breaks this down. He's not being extensive in the list of gifts here, but he's showing us, look, our gifts need to be done according to the proper authority. Our gifts, the gifts that we are using in the body here at Trinity, need to be based on truth. Secondly, big picture here, he says, you need to be active doing them. Ministry, exhortation, teaching, the focus here, he's very quip in the language here that's saying, look, you need to get busy and you need to do them and don't get sidetracked. You get busy using the gifts that God has given you right here at Trinity. And thirdly, we need to do it with the right attitude. Giving, ruling, mercy. Have the right attitude and spirit as we use our gifts. Have you ever known a person that cared for others but always did it with a martyrdom complex? Oh, I'm here again. 38th Sunday in a row. I'm the only one doing this. I'm the only one in this ministry. And what we're doing it, but I'm exaggerating, but what? There's the martyrdom come to us. No, he's saying here, do it with the right attitude. Do it with a cheerfulness. And three quick principles from these three areas. Number one, as you are getting involved, as you are being a living sacrifice here at Trinity, biblical truth is to define your service. Biblical truth should define your service. Number two, our service will be haphazard if we don't focus on the abilities with which God has blessed us. Those, you know, on one hand, when those surveys go out to you, your heart on one hand is, I want to do it all. But then the other hand, as you are assessing and looking at your abilities, hey, that's a need. I think the Lord could really use me here. Those are my abilities. That's where I am gifted. Pastor, I would love to use my gifts and abilities there. In a spirit of humility. And thirdly, we must serve with a Christ-like attitude. Oh, could you imagine Trinity where all the members are serving in that with those three principles in mind? Truth guides us in everything that we do. I'm focusing in on the abilities that God has blessed me with. And thirdly, we're all doing it with a Christ-like attitude. He breaks out of here, and we're just about out of time. But he does break out of here, and I'll just kind of quickly go through these. Number one, all of our social relationships then need to have biblical love as we go down into verse 9. Our biblical love needs to be genuine. We need to be genuine believers that are gripped by holiness. Look what he says here in verse 9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to the good. And as he's saying this here, he's reminding us love needs to guide our relationships with one another. But he clearly shows, though, that in doing this, we are to abhor what? Abhor what is evil and hold fast, cleave.
I don't know. I was thinking as we were, you've got these pillars. Are these pieces of wood all kind of glued together? It looks like here. Okay. That, in a sense, that's what he's saying here. We are to what? We are to abhor, we are to get away from everything that's evil. So what should we be doing? We got it back in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We are to be transformed. We are to be conformed every day by the renewing of our mind to abhor the evil and cleave. Cleave to the good. You know, that cleaving, you are to what? As a spouse, leave and cleave. And as you see here, that's kind of the, with these beams here, the pieces of wood are glued and they are cleaving to one another. Is that how your life looks like? You're cleaving to the good and you are abhorring the evil. And then we demonstrate that love, this biblical love in the body of Christ with true brotherly affection. Brotherly affection that should mirror the love that a family has for one another. That brotherly love is also demonstrated, as we see here, by humility. Love puts others first. This is that, again, he's bringing up the humility in verse 10. Outdo one another in showing honor. And so as you walk through those doors, as you get out of your car for every service, every activity here at Trinity, and you walk in through those doors, one of the things you should picture above those doors is a saying, everyone else at Trinity is better than me. And I want to, not selfishly, I want to outdo. Did you hear what it said there? I want to outdo one another in showing honor. So I don't care if I get recognized as a member of Trinity. I want everyone else to be honored. I want everyone else to receive the credit. I want everyone else to be better than me. A lot of times in churches I've been in, as you're leaving, it says you're now entering the mission field. But as we're coming together as a body, really, as I'm looking around the auditorium, better than me. Better than me. Better than me. Better than me. Again, not out of a self-serving, but out of a true humility, because isn't that exactly what Christ said in Philippians chapter 2? He didn't think heaven was something to be held on to, but he what? He emptied himself, took on the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Did Christ think everyone else was better than him? He died for who? Everyone. What if, and this is one of those thoughts that just pierces me, what if Christ thought about me? I think a lot of people are like, why do you get the feeling sometimes where, oh, I'm so tired of this, right? He left heaven and came to this earth and died by cold blood and death and took the wrath of God for me. better than me. We're out of time.
I think we've hit a number of truths, though, that we have to chew on. Let me just skip ahead here to some final, except this one's not quite like mine. We'll just do it the old-fashioned way. There's too many slides to jump through to. Let me just go ahead and read some gospel truths in closing. Number one, be overwhelmed tonight by the mercies of God. Hey, there we go. Thank you. Be overwhelmed by the mercies of God. Stop living by what I want and start surrendering. Number three is where we just were. Everyone else at Trinity is truly better than me. Demonstrate a surrendered life by being involved in the body of Trinity. Maybe, and again, I don't know anyone here. So really, I'm just walking through the truths of Scripture here. But you know, maybe it's time to recommit yourself to God's plan for this age and God's plan for Fond du Lac and God's plan for you as a member of this body. Maybe tonight it just needs to be a recommitment that, you know, I say Romans 12, 1 and 2 a lot. I want to be a living sacrifice, but a number one place he wants me to be a living sacrifice is right here at Trinity, and I need to recommit myself tonight, Lord, to that. Number five came a little bit later when it talks about how we are to be with unbelievers. Unbelievers and others, you're not always going to be treated correctly. And that's part of it. Even here at Trinity, you're not always going to be treated correctly. Because we're still what? We're still human. But trust God to make it right. We can take care of what? We can take care of ourselves. We're responsible for ourselves. And so everyone else here is better than me. Demonstrate that surrendered life here at Trinity and trust God to make all things right.